Have you ever wanted to hide a part of your identity or life from someone? It could be when you were the new kid in school, ready to reinvent yourself, or it could be when you're starting to look for your life partner by going on dates. As we grow older, we naturally become more aware of what biases and connotations our identity and our history hold, and we could either look forward to or be really reluctant to witness reactions and judgments from others. So what if we took these insecurities and what ifs and leveled the playing field for all of your love interests and gave you all the chance in the world to present yourself exactly the way that you want to be presented? That is what we will talk about today. Welcome to Bamboo and Glass, where we showcase the abundant possibilities of who you can choose to be.
And I'm Tan. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode. Every Sunday, we release a new episode and show you the power of one more perspective. And one more perspective can shift so many things in your life. And we cover perspectives in career, relationships, family, wellness, just to name a few. And oftentimes, we use media to help us ground the conversations around career and relationships. And that will be the case today. So all of us, including our guests today, have taken part in watching a Korean reality dating show, which is not new for most folks to hear about. We actually teased this at the end of our Singles Inferno season 2 episode, where we recapped that and talked about what other shows we would be looking forward to. And there I recommended to Sophia that she should really watch this show. A little bit about Pink Lie. Young men and women move into the pink house, each carrying one lie about themselves, and they gather to find a partner who truly sees them for who they are. True identities are revealed as the relationships walk the tightrope between love and reality. That's just pulled from Google. I think that's such a great way to set the tone for this show. And for folks to know, there were two specific rules for this house. You were not allowed to reveal your secret to anyone. And if you happen to learn of someone's secret, you're not allowed to let anyone know that you know said secret. So with us today is a dear friend, someone we've had many times on our podcast, Van Nguyen. I would actually say Van Nguyen is the person I go to now to get a lot of Korean drama recommendations. And so I was very excited that I got to recommend a Korean dating show to you, Van Nguyen. I know one of the last times you were on Bamboo and Glass, we actually had you as our first guest in our Your Next Date series, which was a podcast dating show we had. So how does it compare, like, being an audience member watching Pink Lie to being front and center on Your Next Date yourself?
Ooh, hello again, everyone. I really loved getting hooked into the show because I don't really watch reality dating shows that much. So it was really fun to try something new. I think for me, the really interesting part is because for Your Next Date, it felt very affirming in many ways, hearing what folks said about me. But in this case for Pink Lie, I actually wondered like how the participants felt, because I think on one hand, it must be really nice to present yourself without your insecurities being known. But I feel like I would have been more nervous because I would have felt like, oh, I'm really hiding something. It feels weird to hide this. What will they say when they find out? Would it be the same? So I actually feel for me, having that suit, I would not survive on Pink Lie for many different reasons, but I think for me that part would have been really nerve-wracking.
That's a really good point, and I'm sure we'll get to talk a little bit more about that as this episode goes on. But first I wanted to ask both of you, actually, I both pitched Pink Lie to both of you. When I'm really passionate about something, I'm really hoping that my friends will join in and join in on the discussion, because I think this show especially made me feel really introspective and reflective. So I'm curious for both of you, what drew you in from the pitch that I made to just take my recommendation of watching this show out of all the other things that you could have been doing with your time? Sophia, I would love to hear what drew you in first.
Well, I mean, you kind of use the words like best show ever, like way better than Singles Inferno. But yeah, aside from that.
Well, do you agree?
I think it is for sure by far the most interesting dating show I've ever watched. I think what really stood out is that a lot of shows lately have been playing around with what happens when someone gets to conceal something about their life, right? Either their appearance on Love is Blind or they conceal something else. And I thought this was really interesting because you get to choose the lie. And it's usually so personal and different to each person. And you, as the viewer, you are kind of taken along for the ride. You actually don't get to see all the secrets as they're revealed. You find out some as you go, but also some you don't find out till the very end. And so I thought it was really fun to get to know these people and to guess what was happening. And also, I think the setup of the game made every day feel a little bit different. And so I was kind of on the edge of my seat, whereas for Singles Inferno, the rules didn't change too much from day to day. So you kind of, it was a little bit more predictable towards the end.
That makes a lot of sense. What about you, Vanwin? You haven't seen other reality dating shows, really? So
not really. Yeah, so I haven't seen Singles Inferno. I listened to your episodes, kind of, and that was my introduction. The only ones I've really watched are Love is Blind Japan, which is really different, and then kind of Terrace House is not really fully dating, but some parts of it were. I think, Tan, for me, it was really interesting. You recommended it, and I think that afternoon or like the day after, I started watching episode one and I got pretty hooked from then. And I think the way you had framed it to me was that you thought it was a show that we or one of our friends would kind of create, because it felt introspective and it felt like it really centered. It centered on people's stories. And I think Tan shared a couple examples, not avoiding, she avoided most of the big spoilers, but she gave me a little teaser and I was like, wow, this is actually kind of emotionally gripping, or I feel like I would get really invested in the characters, because I think I had this connotation that these dating shows would be really dramatic or competitive, but it really seemed to get at the heart of these people's stories, and I was like, okay, I'm hooked.
And I think what's so cool is that when we talk about spoilers with a dating show, usually it has to do with like who do they pick at the end. But actually, like, the spoiler that I most didn't want to experience early on was learning about the secrets and the lies that they had told. And so I thought that was cool that there were so many things to keep looking forward to, because it's even like once someone learns about the lie, like, how does that change how they feel about the person? Would that change how they feel about the person? And does that affect their final choice at the very end? And so I think there were a lot of just unpredictable things that could happen in this show that made it really, really exciting. And so because of that, we're not going to be able to talk about this show without the spoilers. And so I think once we start to talk more specifically about the lies, we will give you all a heads up of any spoiler alerts in case you want to go check out the show. But given the premise of the show, I am really curious for all of us, like, have we ever wanted to hide something about ourselves, our lives, our history upon like first meeting anyone?
I think for me, I have wanted to hide, or in situations sometimes I've tried to hide what school I've gone to for undergrad, or gone to, like, I went to a private high school too. And I think that brings up a lot of connotations if people don't know the full story or the full background too. So I think in those cases, I don't want to completely hide it, but sometimes I withhold it until I feel like I trust them.
You're like
enough.
Directly asked about it too.
Or if I'm directly asked about it, or I feel like comfortable enough to share it with them. So I do sense that hesitation coming up sometimes.
I totally agree. I feel like especially after I left the Bay Area, I was a lot more hesitant to share the school and even the company that I was working at the time. And I think it was fine when I lived in the Bay Area, because maybe it was a little bit more common to meet people of that same background. But once I left, I definitely was really wary of how different of a reaction I would get from people. And I think it was at first obviously something that I was really proud of. But I think it then again brought into question of like how much of this impressiveness that they're exhibiting, how much of that is because of who I am as a person versus the names that are on my resume. So it is, those are some things that I have considered hiding in the past.
Before I watched the show, Tan asked me to think of, or to try to predict what the 10 lies would be on the show. Are you guys ready to hear it?
I'm so excited. Please. These are spicy, y'all.
Lie number one, you have an STD, which I think is pretty taboo. Lie number two, you are in a difficult financial situation. Either you're in debt, or you are really poor, or you have to give a lot of money to your family, etc. Number three is an adult actor or someone in like the porn industry. Number four is you've had plastic surgery done or you've had extreme weight loss. I think people might like want to hide that if they're like, oh, I thought you were quote unquote naturally this thin or this beautiful, but like, oh my gosh, you're not. Okay. Number five is if you have a criminal record, because I think that can really impact employment or, you know, other things. Number six is your citizenship status. I think this is more relevant in the US where there's a lot of people coming from different countries and their employment and life depends on their citizenship status. Number seven is if you have a terminal illness, like imagine going on a date with someone and falling in love.
Isn't that straight out of a K-drama? You must have seen it on a K-drama.
Okay. Oh, wow. Number eight is if you come from a family that's been in the news for bad stuff. So I didn't do anything wrong, but like maybe my parents are known for like medical malpractice or something. But number nine is addiction. If I'm addicted to alcohol, drugs, maybe I'm like a serial liar. That'd be pretty bad. The next is, Tan thought of this, but if you are part of a cult or you've spent a long time in a cult, that'd be pretty tough.
First of all, Sophia, I feel like you should just create your own shows because some of the ones you came up with were like even better. I think they offer some stuff that's really thought-provoking. I think for me, I mean, all of them are really sad, right? Because I'm like, how some of them are not your fault or you get into this situation.
Yeah. Those are such good lies, Sophia. And I feel like now we do have to get into our overall reactions to the show. So let's talk a little bit about the dating show structure, which, Sophia, you kind of hinted at. There's a couple of elements that I want to call out. One is at the end of each day, you get to send one text message to one person in the group. And then they'll receive the message and it'll be labeled as anonymous. So usually the prompt would be something like, text the person you are most interested in or text the person that gave you the most butterflies. So they slightly switch up the prompts a little bit each day. I think one day was also send a text to the person that you like have feelings for. And people can get zero messages, people could get one or two or three, and you still would have no idea. It depends on how, I guess, specific they made it, if they wanted to be mysterious to make you kind of guess who it was, or if they were, if they really wanted you to know that they were going after you. And so I thought that was a really interesting element because there's no dialogue that really happens during that, during those days. And then there were different methods of going on dates. So there's the traditional, like having all the men go and ask someone out. An interesting method was that they had one cast member, actually the newest cast member, come and do the pairing for every single person, which was really, really cool. There was one day where it was actually completely random, which I thought was really clever too. Like I feel like the people running the show really made it helped us see different dynamics that we just normally won't get to see if they just kept going for the same people. And then there was also a ranking system, which, Van Wen, this kind of reminds me of the draw, like when we were going into dorms and stuff. But basically, you rank each one another. And, you know, if both of you rank each other first, you're a guaranteed pair. But if that person gets taken, then you go to your second choice, third, fourth. So you could end up with your fifth choice, actually, and go on a date with them.
Which is so stressful and sad to know that you're stressful. Like, oh, you weren't my first choice.
Exactly, yeah. And then finally, there were the secret reveals. So there were two main ways that they revealed secrets. One was basically, I think the showrunners would let one person secretly know that they can go to the Room of Truth, which is just like in like this little basement area of the house, I believe. I don't think they're aware of it until they get the opportunity to go to this room. They go into the room, they say the person's name of whose secret they want to learn, and they actually play a pre-filmed video of the person explaining their secret. And the one other big reveal other than the end was where one secret was publicly revealed in the middle of the show, just caught everyone off guard. And this was actually a secret that the cast member really wanted to let people know sooner rather than later because he couldn't take it anymore. So overall, thoughts on dating show structure?
The way they did the anonymous text messages was so interesting for the actual participants. I feel like it kind of messed some of them up because I feel like...
Because they would just think it's the wrong person.
Yeah, it's the wrong person. Mm-hmm. Or there's so many times I was like, oh, y'all could have connected really early if you had known you were attracted to each other, which is super interesting.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And oh my gosh, I thought the biggest surprise in the show was the guy who came the latest or who joined the latest, he was actually in the basement for a couple days watching the rest of the members.
Okay, so now spoilers for sure. So in the middle of the show, there are three new cast members who join, which I feel like at this point you can kind of predict could happen because it happens in Singles Inferno and a lot of other shows. Yeah. Or I guess Vanden had no idea.
Oh, like, oh my God.
Yeah. I wasn't too surprised by that, but what was the most surprising was that they had CCTV cameras of the whole house. And so for 3 days, all of these three mysterious people just got to watch everyone do their thing in the house.
Yeah.
I don't think it was in the rooms necessarily, and they don't get to hear audio, but they could, you know, learn a lot of the dynamic body language and just who is like actively approaching the other person. And so everyone was really worried actually that Taeyang, the latest cast member, would do a terrible job with the pairings. But little did they know, he had all the info pretty much and was able to do it.
Yeah. Our little matchmaker.
Yeah, with such Parasite vibes there too, of like someone hiding in the basement.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I thought it was interesting that one of the cast members revealed his secret in the middle of the show. And I don't know if that was planned by the showrunners or if he really, really wanted to do it. Because he talked about, you know, feeling so uncomfortable holding onto his secret. I'll spoil the secret. His secret was that he told everyone he was 25, but he was actually 37. And he concealed his age because he went through a lot in his 20s and he feels like he kind of had a reset in life. And he wants to feel like he still has time to find love. But if people hear he's 37, they might just expect him to want to settle down right away. So he actually said he was like 12 years younger than he actually was, which is kind of extreme.
But he got away with it.
He did. He totally had a baby face.
Yeah, so another aspect of the show is that they can still communicate, you know, with the real outside world. Like they can still keep up with their family, their friends, etc. But because there is the ability to Google one another, they actually all got fake names. And unclear if the fake names were chosen by the showrunners or if they themselves chose them. But there was like a little bit of a running joke that these names were sort of hints at what the secrets were.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, because Padum was one person. And Padum is kind of like the person who's like so righteous, like does everything the right way, is like the model student, the model kid, which I feel like we would all agree he does have that vibe, especially once you learn his secret. And so I was, because of that, I was like racking my brain like crazy to figure out what Hangyeol was. And the 37-year-old. And they were saying, the commentators in the show who are hilarious, they were saying like, maybe it stands for has been married once before. And I was like, that's totally it. Like, if he's 25, no one would expect that he had been married before. And so when it wasn't that, and it was him being 37, I was so shocked. Like, he totally gave me young boy vibes.
Yeah.
And I think we can get into like more of the nitty gritty of the secrets later. But I think for this one was such an interesting lie, because I think that was the one where he would have had to perform the most out of everyone in the show.
And he revealed it I think 2 days before everybody else did, which I thought was pretty strategic, because one, he probably realized that saying he was 25 was too young. I think like most of the other women were like older than him,
and because he was the youngest cast member of the whole cast, and so a lot of people didn't want to go for him because they felt like there's too big of an age gap the wrong way. And it was crazy to see how much people's ideas of him changed after he revealed that secret. I think overall it was pretty positive, but it's like, again, who's to say that you would get such a positive reaction for revealing your secret. Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought it was strategic that he revealed it early and gave people a chance to correct their opinions about him.
Give him another chance.
Yeah. Because at the end, there were some girls who ended up liking him and showing interest for the first time.
Plot twist.
Yeah. Huge plot twist. Right off the bat, first impressions, like the first day, who did y'all like?
So the first day, I like Parum pretty quickly because he seems pretty quiet, pretty sensible. He was the main one I really liked, I think.
Yeah, same. He seemed like pretty sincere, nerdy. Yeah, I liked him.
You also liked Hanu, Sophia.
I did like Hanu.
Oh my god, Tan told me you liked him and I was like, will that
say? Okay, and Tan also said, oh, doesn't he kind of look like Kevin? I'm like, oh yeah, he does kind of look like Kevin.
And then that's all she kept saying. Well, because she was saying that she didn't find any of them attractive. And so I was trying to find, like, wait, like, parallels, right? And, like, the only example I have is...
was kind of attractive.
Yeah, and so I was trying to find little parallels, and the only example I have is Kevin. And so I'm like, Hanu looks the most like Kevin out of every single person.
You primed her.
Yeah, and then I primed her with that, and then the moment that he revealed that he was a CEO of an entertainment company and was in an idol group, she was like, it reached her BTS Love and Army heart right there, right then and there. And I was like, oh, I don't know what I've done. I've created a monster.
I think I also like Hanui just because she was the first secret. So I felt very attached to her.
Yes. Do you want to share the first secret? What was the first secret?
Yeah. So first secret was, and I actually have thoughts on how the show treated her and her secret a little bit too. Mm-hmm. But her story is that six years ago, she worked in adult films as an actress. And that's something that since then she's a candle maker, but she's been trying to break away from that stigma. And she's been really worried that her future partner or their family and friends would know who she was and judge her by her background. And for her, it was really much something she entered the adult film industry because she had to. That was the only way that she could act, which was her passion. And that was just really, it got you in the heart, didn't it? It totally got me. And I was rooting for her from the start.
Yeah, I think that story really, like, even makes you reflect on our own career journeys of, like, how far are we willing to go to pursue passions? Like, are we willing to go to the point where we end up taking on opportunity that really is something that we would normally feel really, really uncomfortable with and be really worried what other people think, but maybe that one choice is worth it for a brighter future. Mm-hmm. And I think it looks like for Hani, like, it was really not worth it for her. And it's something that she can't really take back. It's something that is now out in the world for many, many people to see. Yeah. And apparently she gained a lot of fame because of that. And so it really deterred her from even dating or interacting with men for a really, really long time, which is so sad. And I was really worried in the show that, you know, she took such a brave step to not only try dating again, but to do it on a show. I was really worried about what viewers would think of her and also what the cast members would think of her too once they learned her secret.
Yeah. How did you think of how the show treated her secret?
I found it really interesting that they started off with her, I feel, as a way to hook us in, but then after that it kind of felt like they were using her as a way to me though to hook people in. And I think, can I spoil like the ending a little bit?
Oh yeah.
So when we get to the end, the very last day, that's when all the secrets come out. But they didn't really give the cast the warning at all. They were kind of like, oh, guess what? Your secrets are all going to be revealed. And we just see her, Hanu, like sitting there in shock and just being like freaking so traumatized, terrified. Because everyone's going one by one. She has no idea when her secret's being revealed. And it was just really hard for me to see that because I wish it had been a little respectful. But that, it felt like very focused on her. And it was certainly not her fault the way that the story went, where, spoiler, things didn't go her way in terms of her love interest too, which I think just added to that, where I felt like, damn, she got the short end of the stick on the show.
For sure. In my opinion. And they waited to show her secret last, and it made it feel like, oh, we're building up to the worst secret.
Right.
It is. I mean, I think her secret was one of the more vulnerable ones, because some of the other secrets felt just objectively more lighthearted. Mm-hmm. Like, I would say, like, maybe subjectively difficult for the person, but, like, mm-hmm. in terms of to the general public, like, what is more of a thing you would hide?
So I think we've already started talking about some of the lies. Should we just share what all the lies were and kind of get our thoughts on what we thought of them? Ha-hae was introduced as a 26 or 27-year-old girl. It works in the fashion industry, is really into fashion, and she, from the get-go, immediately knew who she wanted to go with. Mm-hmm. Her lie, who that is actually revealed to her love interest, Chancellor, is actually that she comes from a very wealthy family. And as a result, she's actually never worked a day in her life. Taon, as we already kind of talked about earlier, she introduces herself as someone who works in the marketing team of a beauty company. Turns out she's actually a former idol and currently works as a model. And then the third person is Hanul, who is one of the people who joined later in the show. Mm-hmm. She ends up having quite a lot of suitors by the end, but her secret is that she's actually previously married and has a 7-year-old daughter.
And then Hani, we talked about, she's a former adult actress. And then Sulbi, she said that she was a civil servant, but her actual job is that she's a weather reporter, and she lied because she has a really unpredictable schedule for work and didn't want that to get in the way of finding love. And then now moving on to the guys, Hanu, he said that he was the CEO of an entertainment company, but actually he needs to inherit his family's farm and cow business. And then Param, who we already talked about, Benwin, you and I both liked in the beginning, mm-hmm. his secret is that he needs to give 50% of his paycheck to his family.
Mm-hmm. And then we go to Chancel, my man. He did not. He said that he was a PE teacher for elementary students, but he actually never went to college and is instead a successful hairdresser. Mm. And then we have Taeyang, who was like 36, so everyone thought he was the oldest at first. And he is actually an X-rated dancer, so kind of like Magic Mike for different women. And one of the participants actually knew him, which was interesting. And then the last one was, we talked about Hangil, who said he was 25, but was actually 37. And we talked a little about this, but it also reminded me, I think there was a cultural aspect that I was talking with Tan, where I felt like you know, in Korean culture, there's formal and informal speech. And I felt like at first it was hard for me to understand the big deal that the age difference meant, but then realizing that it really affected the way participants like spoke to each other, like literally spoke to each other and treated each other, it made more sense for me as I like thought about it and talked to her about it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm really excited. I would love to hear Sophia's thoughts too on Hangyeol. So Hangyeol, again, he reveals his secret, and I think for a lot of the women, they became really excited. They were very positive reactions because they're now more interested in Hangyeol. But one person who really, like, it sent him down a spiral was Taeyang. So again, Taeyang, we thought, was the oldest cast member. It turns out that Hangyeol is 1 year older than him. And Taeyang begins to go down this spiral of rethinking, like, how he had treated Hangyeol so far, like, in the last couple of days, And Taeyang at one point felt really disrespected by Hangyeol because it was like, how dare this 25-year-old talk to me as like when I'm so much older than him? When it turns out that Taeyang is actually not only are they not even the same age, Taeyang is younger than Hangyeol. It's really actually, I think in Korean culture, really embarrassing to have, you know, had such a quick judgment of someone that where you really look down on them. And it's sort of like, you're not allowed to look down on people who are older than you. So I'm really curious, Sophia, like how that whole reaction came off to you also as someone who isn't Korean.
Yeah. I think I saw Taeyang spiral for other things. And so I honestly didn't take his spiraling that seriously. I thought he really exploded for other things that were not so serious. So I didn't take him too seriously.
Okay, so you just thought like, oh, he's just being dramatic. Fair. That's fair. And I think he did end up extrapolating a little bit too far with it, where he was like, really, like, who can I trust? Which I think is also the whole thing with the show, right? And I think that's what Van Wyn was hinting at the beginning, which was that
you can have some relief for yourself that you are getting to present yourself the way you want to. But like, imagine you're hearing someone that you're interested in, like tell you their life story. You have no idea what is the lie or what is the truth. Yeah. So like, if you're impressed by something, it's like, am I truly impressed by them? Or am I impressed by a lie now? Like, that's actually the added element.
That would actually really mess with my mind.
Yeah, I think it would mess with me too. Because, and I think it would, again, force me to check myself on a lot of things. Right. Of like, how much value am I really putting on like these like accomplishments or facts that they're giving about their lives versus like personality, which I think is the whole point of the show. Like, what if you got to know someone for their personality, things that, you know, they can present very fully as themselves and remove the aspects of things that have happened in their past or things to do with their career, their family, et cetera. So I thought that was really interesting. Which lie was the most surprising to you both?
Honestly, right now, probably Hanu, because I just did not, that did not even cross my mind.
Also, fun fact, when he introduces himself at the beginning of the show, he says it's Hanu, which is a really unusual name. Like, I've never heard anyone have that name, but a variation of that name would be Hanu. So like the N goes with the first syllable, and that means beef. And so when they revealed the cow, that he's a he's gonna inherit a cow farm, I was like, Hanu, I get it. I get it now. Well, one, tell us how you felt about Hanu up until then, Panwin, and then tell us how you felt about him after the secret reveal.
First of all, he is not my favorite character.
That's a very nice way of putting it. I think you hated him.
I did really hate him. I found him like really cocky. I just didn't like, I felt he was like kind of aggressive at times, really unnecessary, conceited. I actually felt though that this lie made me like him a little bit more or feel empathetic, because his whole story is like he was in a Japanese idol group or something like that, and he felt very much like a failure having to go back to his family business and start from scratch in that way. And I felt like I felt for him there, and I felt really bad, and I thought it was interesting that he was still trying to make the most of things and have a positive outlook and start his new life in this way. One of the small things that I really liked is he had this tendency to like wake up really early and do the dishes for everyone. Hey, you laugh, but I was like, that's actually a really nice thing to do. It's very consistent. Yeah, it's very consistent. I was shocked when I found out, because I definitely pegged him as the guy who would like, you know, leave trash around the place and let someone else clean them. So when he did that, I was like, oh, I don't want to like you, but this is actually something.
Okay, so this is what Van Wyn said when she was in real time watching the show. Hanu, episode 4, after seeing his crush flirt with the new guy, I purposely didn't exude charisma until now. Van Wyn says, dude, how do you take yourself seriously? How did you say that without batting an eye? Unfortunately, my favorite thing is to bash him. And then I think it was like an hour later, she texts again. She's like, okay, he wakes up early and cleans up. He's not a terrible person. He's just annoying.
Redeemed. Right? Yeah.
I mean, strong, disciplined morning routine. That is something to be really
respected.
Otherwise,
an awful character beyond
that.
We love multidimensional people and potential growth.
Okay, Sophia, what about you? What was the most surprising secret to you?
I think I was interested in Tae's secret, which is that she came from a really rich family. And I wonder why she concealed that. Like, was it because other guys she's dated would only date her for her money? Or was it because she felt like other guys were inevitably less well off and felt intimidated by her? So I
could see it going both ways.
I was surprised by, I just wish I knew what life experience led to that lie.
Are the things that they hid things that I too would have a prejudice against? So I'm really curious, what did the show reveal about your own prejudices?
Do you want to go first?
Sure. Man, I have so many. I have so many prejudices. And I think I felt kind of bad. I felt kind of bad about it. But I think it's also important to evaluate for yourself of like, whether it's a prejudice that you've had, whether you've had it for a long time or you just started having it, like, is it something that you still stand by, or is it something that you would want to become more open-minded about? So I think, for example,
I think Honey, with like her past being a former adult actress, I think I could see myself having a prejudice against that, but I would want to be more open-minded because that's something that's in the past. Versus I think with Taeyang, like him currently working in some similar like adult entertainment industry, I think that's a little bit of a different story for me of, oh, like how would I feel about this being something that they're still really passionate. They're actually really passionate about it. And I think the sentiments were very different, even though the careers are kind of in similar veins for the two of them. I think, I'm sorry, if I heard that you have a cow business that you're going to run, I'm sorry, I'm going to run away. And I'm trying really hard
even
to not
if
feel.
He washes your dishes for you.
I can wash my dishes fine. I wake up and wash my own dishes. Yeah, and I think I do have this prejudice of like living in a rural area.
That gave me the most pause was Tahei coming from a rich family. I think it's not just that she came from a rich family, but that she has not worked at all and spends her days shopping, like doing leisure stuff. It is, I feel like we just could not relate on the things. Totally. So that would probably be the biggest one for me. I agree exactly with your sentiments, Han, on Hanui and then Taeyang. That would be really hard for me to think about. And then, yeah, I think the big one, those are the big ones that I was thinking of, that I was also reflecting on the difference between people's insecurities and lies regarding romantic relationships versus friendships. Because I think in terms of friendships, if these were lies, I would have been like, oh, it's totally okay. Nothing will be fine. But definitely when it comes to a romantic partner, it just shifts and feels a little bit different. Now there's a personal stake there.
Yeah, I totally agree with both points. I also think Tahei, I would struggle to be in a relationship with her, especially because none of my friends come from that level of money either. So I would just feel like really awkward with her and her family. And I agree. I think the show made me change my mind about romance a little bit in that, like, I think there's a difference between being empathetic about someone's circumstances and, you know, like not looking down on them versus wanting to marry someone with those circumstances. Like, for example, with Hanul being previously married, I would have a hard time with that because it actually poses a really, really big challenge for me. I actually have a really close friend who has a half-sibling, and just like they told me that their parent really, really struggled to have one kid who was their biological kid, another kid that wasn't. And so that is just not a challenge I would be up for the rest of my life. And also the X-rated dancer. I think it's cool. Like, he feels really confident and sexy. Honestly, great for him. Like, I don't look down on him at all. But for me, like, I wouldn't want him as my partner because I wouldn't feel, like, inspired by that career.
It's really interesting to think, like, how would I be in this situation? Would my feelings change after learning someone's lie? Like, would the attraction change? I don't know. That's what the show made me think about it.
And, like, I wonder if, like, you liked Taeyang, for example, Sophia, and you found out about his – and clearly sparks are flying, right? And then you find out about this lie. I don't know. Like, how would you navigate that dynamic afterwards?
Knowing
that it's something that's that they wanted to hide too.
And after you find out their secret, you only have like 12 hours to make your decision about who to go for. So you really don't have time to get to know anybody else or acclimate to their lie.
Do you think then it would have been better to extend the show after the lies are revealed for like an extra couple days?
I think they should have extended. I think they should have extended too. I think it would have been really interesting to see how people would have connected if they felt like their lives were similar or they had similar values.
Yeah. I also feel like, aside from how it was revealed, I think the aftermath of that is that I think people would probably feel really relieved to be able to, you know, explain themselves and like talk and really talk about, ask the questions that they've wanted to ask or like really let people know about all those things. And so I think I wish that there had been more of a chance for them to kind of like clear the air with whichever person that they were really interested in. I think there's only like one night that they have all together. And I think it's just so shocking to have 10 secrets revealed to you all at the same time. And there's no time to really think through it, think about what action you'd want to take afterwards. Like, I think I would have been worth seeing like one date at the very least of having these people know the lies. Okay, we've talked a lot about the heavy stuff, which like is the lies and how you navigate dating and whatnot. I want to at least have this section be, let's talk about all of like the stupid, petty drama that happens in any other reality TV dating show, right? So one question that is posed comes from Taun having two or three. She has a lot of suitors going after her. And she starts to kind of categorize them as like, these are the people who are kind of like fire to me. They're the ones with like, you know, sparks are flying. There's passion between us. Like we instantly have chemistry. And then there's people who are like water to me, people who are stable. They've always been consistently like, you know, letting me know how they feel and also consistently doing good things for me. Which kind of person would you pick for yourself? Would you pick a fire person or a water person?
Can I have fiery water? A little bit of both. No, I think
boiling water.
Yeah.
Boiling water. Steaming water. Just steam is what I want.
I think that water, I would probably go back to water in the end, but I also think I need fire because I think that I am more like a water person. So to balance that, I need someone who's a little bit more fire.
I think I'm definitely more fire. So I definitely need water for sure.
I need water. This is like a 12-day show. I would go, I would just lose my mind if it was like fire.
Yeah. Okay, Sophia, in your Singles Inferno episode, you said that feelings on the island are temporary, but TV is forever. Please tell me what you feel like were not good moves, given the fact that feelings are temporary and the show is forever.
Calling someone a vixen, calling someone a fox. Like, what?
In front of everyone else, too, that one scene.
Hanu tends to be more forward. And so, but also, he's forward, but still is the kind of person who's like, I want to date every single person. So then it's like, okay, but who are you really, really interested in, right? Yeah. And so he is kind of forward, like, strangely forward in that sense, but he also will be the person who is the first guy out of everyone to go ask someone on a date, which he did with Taun. So when it came to this overnight trip and it was going to be determined by a ranking system, he told Taun, hey, let's go on a trip together. And by this point, they had many arguments, many conflicts, many things that I feel like clearly show that they're not a good fit for each other. And they also sort of have a bantering type of relationship. So when Taun heard Hanu say, let's go on the trip together in front of every single person in the cast, Taun was like, yeah, sure. And then she ended up not ranking him first. Yeah. He ranked her first. He ends up not going with her. And so because he's shocked, he calls her out as a fox in front of everyone.
Okay. And here's the thing. He ends up still going with a girl he really likes. He ends up... this guy is just
Yeah, also
so
the
dramatic.
Guy, like, he's weird. He like talked about the girl that he liked was his second choice. He like asked her about the dilemma and was like, oh, you're my second choice. I'm like, why would you say that to someone who clearly likes you, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was not a good move on Hanu's part. I think another one that I think of is, or one thing that happened in the show that I was just so tense the whole time was this very late night conversation that was happening in one of the alcove common areas where at that point Taeyang and Taun have sort of like expressed interest in each other and Taun wants to wake up early the next day and she instead of asking Taeyang after telling him that she's interested in him, she asks Hanu, who we know wakes up early, washes dishes, to wake her up. Taeyang gets really upset about that and tries to bring it up in the conversation, but there's other people involved and Taun doesn't really understand why he's reacting that way. And Taeyang then chooses to kind of like put his foot down, like really bring the mood down so that he is taken more seriously. Turns into this whole fight where it wakes up people.
That one was really hard to watch. And I was like, I kind of understand both perspectives. I think for Tan, she knew Hanu first. And I think, like you said, Tan, she's so used to bantering with him that for her, it was just like, oh, a friend, you know, wake me up because you're up anyway.
Yeah.
And then for Taeyang, I feel like he was a little too possessive and overreacted in the moment. But I can also understand where he felt like he was not being heard. I think there was just a big lapse of miscommunication with both of them, where if they had let go of their pride in some instances and just talked about it, it would have been addressed.
Yes. And then there's some events that happen right afterwards where Taewon ends up realizing what it was that Taeyang wanted. So she writes him a note, like just like puts it on his little pillow, you know, hoping that he'll see it. He does see it. And he ends up asking Hangyeol to set an alarm for him to help him wake up, so that he can wake Taewon up early. Taeyang does not hear the alarm, and Hangyeol does, but Hangyeol turns off the alarm and does not wake Taeyang up. And the explanation that Hangyeol gave was that if Taeyang cared enough, he would have done it himself.
Mm-hmm. I disagree with that. I didn't like Hangyeol. Like, this is part of the reason why I didn't like him, where I felt like, sure, but also Taeyang cared enough that he asked Hangyeol to help him. Like, the reason he gave was because, first of all, he was kind of drunk and hungover. He knew he would be hungover and possibly not wake up because his phone was charging far away from him. I'm a deep sleeper at times. I understand that. I felt like if Taeyang had not cared, he wouldn't have bothered to ask Hangyeol, but I think the tricky part was Hangyeol had feelings for her too that nobody knew of. But I think, I don't know, I personally, this is why I wouldn't survive on a dating show. I would just help the guy out. I was going to turn on the alarm for him.
You would have been the hype woman for everyone.
Yeah, or at the very least, if you're not going to wake him up, at least tell him. At least be upfront and be like, no, like if you want to wake up, wake up. I didn't like that he was sneaky about it. It was like, oh yeah, I'll wake you up. And then flat out just stared at the alarm as it was ringing. So I think Hangyeol was just really tricky for me. There's a couple reasons why I don't like him, and that's one of them.
I see.
My second reason, the instance when Hanu was drunk and having the argument with Taewon, he was like talking with Hangyeol before that and talking about like, oh, should I go talk to her? Go talk to her. Hangyeol's like, yeah, be honest, talk about your feelings. And I'm like, no, not when he's clearly like drunk and not in his right mind to communicate. Bad judgment there. Maybe he was trying to sabotage his rival, which is like, okay, kudos to you.
Okay, I have a little bit of a different interpretation of that. I think at that point, I think Hanu only, there is an answer he wants. Like, there is a response that he wants as he's talking about this. Like, should I go talk to her? Clearly, he wants to go talk to her. So I personally just feel like Hangyeol just told him what he wanted to hear. That's my take on it. I don't think there is a need for him to, who's to say that he, like, you know, really knows whether this person is going to be able to talk to the person in a mature way, in an emotionally mature way, regardless of how drunk they are. Like, I think I would really second guess myself. And so if he really wants to do it, I'd be like, okay, yeah, sure. Like, do what you want. You do you. Like, your actions, your consequences, honestly. And I think that's kind of a similar philosophy to the whole Taeyang thing. I think I would have felt competitive because Hangyeol also has feelings for Taewon, and I would have probably done the same thing as Hangyeol. I don't think I would have thought it through enough to like tell Taeyang like do your own thing, because also Hangyeol was also kind of keeping his feelings close to him. No one really knew who he was interested in, and I think I would have the same belief as Hangyeol, and if I maybe would have left the alarm going a little bit longer. And then if he didn't hear it, he didn't hear it. Yeah. And yes, I would also lie if Taeyang asked me afterwards, like, hey, did you hear the alarm? And I'd be like, oh, yeah. And I would have had all day to think about the lie that I would need to tell.
Okay. I'm glad we're not rivals in love then.
I would have done something in the middle. I would have kept, like, the letter of my word, and, like, I would have gone and, like, shaken him a little bit, but I wouldn't care if he actually woke up. I would just be like...
But, like, tap, tap.
Oh, yeah, tapped you on the shoulder, your fault. Your eyes opened a little bit.
If he had tried that, maybe I would have given it a pass. Who knows?
Oh, so funny. Yeah, there's so many little things like that that it's really interesting to think about what kind of a friend or what kind of a love interest you'd be, given the fact that they're all living under the same roof. I've seen this happen in dorms. I've seen this happen in fellowships. Like, there's morally gray areas to kind of explore with what you share with and act upon in terms of keeping your word. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Padam, if Padam was asked, he would have totally done what you did, Bianwen.
He's a sweetheart. We knew that already.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so if you ended up going on the show, I mean, I think maybe Bianwen and I already have answered this a little bit by what we would hide. But Sophia, what would you say your life is? What would be something you would hide and what would you lie about?
Okay, I have two potential approaches. One approach is I would pick an alternate parallel life. Let's just say, you know, in another life, I would be a classical pianist or an artist or a full-time content creator. I would pick that as my lie and see how people react to it. Or I would pick a aspirational lie. So it's like, if I'm continuing on my same trajectory, let's say 10 years from now, I'm going to be the CEO of a company, or I want to be the CEO of a company. I would make that my lie and say, and see how people react to the aspirational version of myself and just see like, oh, 10 years from now, if I was a CEO, how would that impact?
Would you feel worried at all when people find out? Like, would you feel worried how their perception of you would change? Or because it's an aspiration, you kind of feel like you're on your way to it already?
I think if I'm on, I would pick maybe something 3 or 4 years out to make it so it doesn't seem like I'm telling a blatant lie just to get people interested in me. And I would also explain my approach. I think people would respect the reason for it.
Yeah. I feel like that's a very, like, sulbi approach. Like, I think you are very secure in, like, what you do. It's not something you're insecure about, but you're just kind of wanting to see what it would be like, how people might treat you differently, given it's more of a social experiment for you than whether you – than the other lies, which really have to do with, like, people's deep, deep insecurities. I feel very lucky that – if I were on this show, it would be more of a social experiment, I would say, because even though like schooling and work could be things that I would want to hide, they're again like objectively not bad things that have happened in my life. And so it's just more of a question of like, do people really think I'm smart by knowing me or because of where I went to school? Or because of the job that I have? And if I were to say I was like a full-time content creator, would people think I'm more vain than I actually am too? I think I'd be really curious just how different people's perceptions of me would be.
I agree with that.
So we don't know if there's going to be a season 2 for this, but is there anything that you would want to change about the show? Like if you got a chance, you're like, this is your feedback form. You're giving it to the showrunners. You're doing season 2 and this is your one chance to really let them know what needs to be different or be changed.
I talked about this a little earlier already. I think that I would like the levels of the different lies to kind of match each other a bit more, at least especially in the reveal at the end. I just feel like they should have given a heads up or done some sort of way to make it less difficult for some of the participants. I like the idea, the question you had, Tan, of extending it for an extra little bit just to have at least one date. And I think it would have been interesting to at least like give them a little nudge. I feel bad for them. This is me trying to wingman all of them, but I would give a little nudge at the beginning to have them have a sense of who each other liked. So instead of one of their texts being anonymous, maybe one night having it reveal a little bit early on.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah. I think I would actually disagree on the magnitude, the different magnitudes of the lies. I personally think it was really cool to see like the whole, like such a big spectrum of secrets because because I think normally if I hear pink lie, I would have had similar ideas of lies that Sophia came up with before looking at the show. Like, things that are deep, dark secrets that would totally show up in a K-drama. But there's sometimes the lies can be things that are a little bit more lighthearted, but still like, what would it be like if I did hide that about myself, or did change this aspect about myself for like a week and see what happens. I guess the only thing would be that, what's to stop this person from getting to do that in the real world already? Like, they could probably do that easily, versus it's a little bit harder for some of the other lies. I totally agree in terms of the reveals of the secrets, though. I think the way that the show did it, I think, can call into question maybe ethics and consent and boundaries of having all of them gathered where they all can see each other's expressions as all the videos of the secrets are playing. I think what would have been better is if they actually got their own rooms again, like their own rooms of truths, and got to watch the videos on their own and then come back to the house at a later time, because then you can come back knowing that everyone else has seen it, but you didn't have to witness all of the immediate knee-jerk reactions that they have to each other.
I agree with that, because I feel like with someone there, with me there, if I were there listening to or seeing someone's video, I would worry about like, oh, what is my expression like to them? Do I appear like too shocked? And then for me hearing my lie freaking out, I would not want to look at anyone's faces, because I just feel like it feels really weird.
Given the premise of the show, I found myself rooting for everyone. So even though there were so many things I didn't like about Hanu's actions or behaviors, I was really feeling for him when his secret was getting revealed, of whether I hope that people accept him for inheriting a farm and not being able to go after the dreams that he had originally gone for. And so I thought that was such a cool aspect of the show. I don't think there are that many dating shows out there where I can genuinely say I've rooted for every single one of them at some point. Yes. Banwin, so great to always have you. And I'm so glad that we got a chance to talk. We've talked about so many topics with you in the past, politics, dating, all sorts of things. But this is the first time we're getting to talk about a show with you. So this has been incredible to get to talk about it with you. I think probably our first guest where we talk about a specific media, actually. Usually it's just me and Sophia. So I'm so glad that you were able to join us and tell us your little spicy opinions and spicy takes on things. And thanks both of you for like even taking the time to watch the show so that we can have this conversation, because I've been dying to talk about it with people.
I told you, I watched it so fast. I was like, I can't believe I put my other shows on hold for this one.
So if that's not convincing enough to you all, listeners, you can check out Pink Lie on Hulu. It's a Hulu original, so really exciting to see the reality shows starting to populate over there. And let us know what you think. If you do end up watching, would you be interested in season two? Let us know by messaging us on Instagram, on Twitter, TikTok. We're always at the handle Bamboo and Glass. If you enjoyed this episode, you can also rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That really helps other folks discover our podcast. There's not a ton of ability to be discoverable with podcasts, so any like, share, comment, rate, review is really, really helpful for us. And with that, we hope you have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next Sunday. Bye.